So hi everyone, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to contribute to such a special organization. So we live in a society today in which it's so hard to feel good about ourselves. Most of us, if not all of us, are living with our wannabe. So what is your wannabe? Your wannabe is a figment of your imagination. It's an image that you have in your mind of who you want to be. So your wannabe probably looks like someone who is beautiful and thin and very gifted and happy, patient, calm, keeps a beautiful clean home, prepares only healthy food. So we all have this image in our minds of who we want to be, and it's so painful to not measure up. And if you keep your wannabe in your mind, you're always comparing yourself, and you're living your life feeling like a constant failure. It's so painful, and it's so, so destructive to our self-esteem. Our wannabes were created in part by our parents, really by our life experience. It could have been your grandparents, could be teachers in school. It may even be, you know, partly related to your personality, like if you're a perfectionist. So you created this image in your mind of who you want to be, and it's also very much impacted by the media. The media seems very enticing, all the magazines, very glamorous. They portray a picture of life that you're supposed to be. And it's really, of course, all a facade. There is no such a thing as perfection in this world. And all the articles about psychology and medicine, they all tell us about how we could achieve health. So that's a wonderful thing, but it also puts a lot of pressure on ourselves. And it also helps to create our wannabes. And it's just painful to constantly be walking around feeling like a failure, trying so hard to achieve what we see in our minds. I want everyone to close their eyes now. And I want you to picture yourself on an average day. For everyone, it's going to be different. You know, you might feel grumpy on an average day. You're not feeling so great physically. Your house is a mess. You might be dealing with anxiety about the unknown or a challenging situation in your life. You know, supper might be the frozen pizza. Your laundry might be, you know, in piles on beds and never have made it to the drawers. For everyone, an average day is different. And I want you to give yourself a big hug. This is you. This is the way Hakat Sparkle made you. You're imperfect, but you're perfect because it's done made you this way. And we have to work really hard on accepting ourselves, the good, the bad, and the in-between. Loving and having compassion for ourselves is the first step to being emotionally healthy and to having happy, healthy relationships. We want to emulate Hashem, Mahu Racham Afatah Racham, right? Hashem is Rachmanis, he has compassion. He has compassion that he's merciful, like the Yud Gimel Nido says. Hashem loves each and every one of us. We are all beautiful and pure neshamos. The Ramchal says that a person is made up of three parts. We have three parts to ourselves. We have our guf, our physical needs, our body, our nefesh, our emotional world, our emotional needs, and our neshama, our spirituality. We are all, in essence, purely good, because we are all, the I of me is a neshama. And then, of course, we have our bodies, and we have our emotional world, and that comes with a combination of strengths and weaknesses, of good and bad. And everyone has that. Everyone has good and bad in our guf, in our physical bodies, and our nefesh, in our emotional world. All our qualities were given to us as tools specific for our lives. Some of the tools that we're going to have are going to be, you know, great, amazing tools. Some are going to be average. Some are going to be below average. And that's what Kachor Hu gave us, because it's perfect for us in our lives. Imagine a carpenter who has a electrical saw, and a carpenter that has a handsaw. How can we compare the products of the carpenters if they have such different tools? Can we say that one carpenter is more talented than the other? Imagine a singer. One records his album in his basement studio, and another uses an updated, modern, very expensive equipment studio. We can't compare. We can't judge ourselves or others because we were all given the tools, different tools from a son. And we're all doing the best that we can with the tools that we have. Why should we feel guilty about the traits that a patriarchal gave us? We didn't choose our qualities, our characters, any more than we chose our parents. The consequences of such misplaced guilt are self-hatred, lack of self-esteem, and a lack of menuchas nefesh, being at peace with yourself. It's very damaging. Hashem created us the way we are. The good, the bad, everything. And He loves us more than we can imagine. We have to accept this reality and come to love and appreciate ourselves the way we are with all our faults and qualities. No one is better than us. We all just have a different set of tools. Let's say you have anxiety and depression. Or let's say a spouse with mental illness. Or let's say an eating disorder. Whatever it is, Hashem gave you those tools. Hashem is not going to judge you for those tools because He gave you those tools. And you're the same wonderful as someone else who has a different set of tools. Yes, we are supposed to work on ourselves. That's why we're put in this world, to help ourselves be better people and to, you know, help ourselves be healthier, stronger, better old day Hashem, servants of Hashem, right? But we have to remember, Rabbi Shalanto says, that it's more difficult to correct a bad midah than to complete sah. It's so difficult to work, to eradicate our negative qualities, and it's usually the work of a lifetime. It's usually a process. So we have to understand that there is no perfection in this world, and we are all works in progress. I once asked a veteran therapist, who's healthy? Because my experience was that, you know, my clients and everyone I know, everyone has problems and issues. And she said, well, it depends on how big the issue or problem is. I beg to differ, because what I've seen is that small issues quickly become big issues with time and with stress. And not just that, but a small issue for one person is a big issue for someone else. So what is health? I believe that someone who is healthy is not a lack of problems or issues or mental health issues. It's someone who is working on themselves. Someone who can acknowledge their strengths and their weaknesses and is working on getting the help that they need and really using all the resources that Hashem put in their lives. That is a healthy person. The Chovas HaLevavos says that we are not in control of results. We can have the best intention. We can try our hardest. We can make the best decisions that we think is great for ourselves. But we have to have siyata d'shmaya. We have to have help from Hashem to be successful. Therefore, we don't control results. No matter what we try to do, we can't control the results of our effort. The only thing that we can control is our effort. So if you are trying the best you can, then you are an incredible and special person. It's not about accomplishments. We would all be so much happier and healthier if we didn't have that inner critic always telling us what we did wrong, or always telling us that we're not measuring up, that everyone is doing so much better than us. That guilt and anger towards ourselves is so damaging to our sense of self, to our menuchas nefesh, to our inner contentment and peace. And it brings such hopelessness and despair. And when we feel bad about ourselves, we either rationalize our behavior, which means that we think, you know, everything I do is good. Everything is, so we can't really take an honest look at ourselves. Or we give up on ourselves. And we just despair, forget it, I'm bad anyhow. And it prevents us from being healthy and being able to become, to work on ourselves and become better people and have close relationships. The Rambam says in Pirkei Avos, Al tehi rasha b'shnei asmacha, that you should not look at yourself as a rasha, as a wicked person. The Rambam explains that if one considers himself a rasha, then he will not fear to make poor choices because he's going to say, I'm bad anyhow, so what does it matter if I make another bad choice? There's no hope for me. So that, in essence, so not having self-compassion for ourselves, not accepting ourselves, not loving ourselves, that prevents us from becoming the best people that we can be. When you feel bad about yourself and you lack self-compassion, it's so painful. And it's so painful to acknowledge our shortcomings. And that is the first step to overcoming our weaknesses, to getting the help we need. So what you want to do, and if this is the only thing you're going to remember from today's talk, is you want to replace judgment with self-compassion. And it might sound that is going to help you have the emotional energy to help yourself to do a great job in everything that you're doing. And it will also help you cope with all your misfortunes. So how do you have compassion? How do you have self-compassion? Imagine someone in your life who is a very compassionate person. Someone you came in contact with. For the lucky ones of us, it would be like our mother, you know. Imagine someone who just epitomizes compassion. And you go to her and you tell her, let's say, something going on that's presently challenging for you in your life. And you say, you know, I'm having a really hard time with this child, right? And she'll say to you, you're such a wonderful person. You're doing so much good already. You are so special. And the child is so lucky to have you. Look how hard you're trying. She'll give you a hug. So, you know, she'll say, come, let's go out for ice cream together. Or whatever, you know, this maybe maybe there aren't such people, but I mean there are. There are definitely compassionate people, but maybe I'm just kind of making it a little bit too unrealistic. But you know, whoever, but really, like there are people that you just love sharing with because they help you feel better about yourself, right? So that's the type of person that you want to imagine. You know, and like if in an ideal world it would be like your mother. Imagine how your mother, you know, used to kiss your boo-boos and treat you when you were a young child, or you could imagine yourself as the best mother that you can be. How would you relate to your child who a little 1-year-old who falls? Oh, I feel so bad for you. Come here, let me give you a hug, right? So that's what we need to do for ourselves. That we have to have an inner dialogue of love and compassion for ourselves. We have to recognize our own greatness. And then that is healing. When you have self-compassion, you heal yourself. I can't remember the author now, but she wrote a great book on trauma called The Body Keeps the Score. I can't remember, he has a complicated name. But anyhow, and he says in there, he says it's really relationship that helps you heal. It's the love and the connection and the compassion that you get in a relationship. The belief in you that helps you heal. So we need to do that for ourselves. And when we have self-compassion, then we're going to have the energy for all our relationships. Many relationship problems come from a lack of self-esteem, a lack of self-compassion. Personality disorders, very often the root of it is a very poor self-esteem. Relationships highlight our personality weaknesses. And without a healthy sense of self-esteem, self-confidence, it's very, very hard to acknowledge those weaknesses and to get the help we need, so that we can have a thriving relationship. Marriage is probably one of the most challenging relationships. Marriage is not a business partnership. It's not a kavusha. In a business partnership, you're looking to be the most efficient, the most practical, to achieve the most, right? In a kavusha partnership, you're looking to be right. In marriage, it's not about being right. It's not about being efficient. It's about an emotional relationship. Having self-compassion for yourself helps you be emotionally healthy, and that will give you the emotional energy necessary to be loving and attuned to your step. When a baby is born, his parents are responsible for both his physical needs and emotional needs. Emotional needs are to be loved and cared for and thought about, missed, valued, to have someone to talk to about your ups and downs. Your emotional needs stay with you from the time that you're born until the day you die, and they don't change. They're all the same. For the first 20 years of your life, it's mainly your parents' job to fill those needs. And, of course, you can have friends and teachers that help. But when you get married, it becomes both of your responsibilities, both spouses' responsibilities, to fill each other's needs. sometimes the way we experience relationships when we're young creates this, you know, uneasiness and you feel scared and unsafe in relationships. Sometimes it's the way it's our childhood that create this fear of being in a relationship or feeling unsafe or feeling not competent for relationships. Sometimes it's, you know, different experiences, being bullied, different experiences that we've had. And it creates it. So it creates an attachment style that may not be so healthy for relationships. So it can be, and it can also be our personalities and other, and a lot of, aside from experience, it can be a lot of other factors that create our attachment style. That's the way we connect with people, the way we attach to people. It's a very big subject, but I want to talk about the qualities necessary for a secure attachment. And we all want to strive to have a secure attachment so that we can be best, the best mothers and the best wives that we can be. And the more you work on these qualities, the more you're going to, you know, have successful relationships. And the reason I started off with self-compassion is because without self-compassion, you really, it's very difficult to work on these qualities. So what are the qualities that are necessary for a secure attachment style? So if someone with a secure attachment style has an easy time being warm and loving. By working on being positive and seeing the good in yourself, feeling good about yourself, taking good care of yourself, you have the energy you need to be warm and loving. By having a very self-compassionate inner dialogue, right? So then you can love someone else and you can be compassionate to someone else. There's a direct correlation to how you treat yourself, that's how you're going to treat other people. Someone with a secure attachment style is difficult to insult. They take relationships in a stride. They don't personalize. They don't become defensive easily. They attribute positive intention and are done with hashtag, right? They assume positive intention to people's actions. When your husband hurts you, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that what he said or did is a reflection of your self-worth. What it means is that he's in pain and he's struggling. Or he just wasn't aware of your needs or feelings, or he has weaknesses, or he doesn't have the tools or skills needed to meet your needs, whatever it is. But for most of the time, you know, it's not intentional. Very often it's not intentional. It's just, you know, that it's a way of him expressing pain. Or, like I said, it's a lack of knowledge or poor emotional intelligence, whatever, you know, whatever it may be. It's not that he wants to hurt you. And when you recognize that, it's easier not to become defensive and not to personalize. By replacing judgment with compassion, understanding that we're all not perfect, we all have a work cut out for us in this world, it makes it much easier to be more objective and not personalized. So the third quality necessary, someone with a secure attachment style speaks in a way that makes other people feel safe and not threatened. So you have to know how to relay a message without making the person feel defensive. And therefore, if you speak in a way that is going to go into, you know, enter someone's heart, they're going to be able to hear you. If you speak in a way that makes someone feel defensive, they're so focused on their own pain, their own emotional pain, they can't even hear you. So speaking in a way that helps people, you know, family members in your life, your husband, hear you and understand you, means speaking in a soft tone of voice, a pleasant face, telling him what you want from him instead of criticizing him. This is a whole, you know, all these qualities that I'm telling you, really, I have classes on, so, you know, they're all, this is really a quick summary of the qualities necessary for a secure attachment style. So the last quality is someone with a secure attachment style is good at reading cues. They understand the emotional needs or motivations of other people, and they respond to them. So, and this also requires you to be not so focused on your own emotional pain, right? So when you feel good about yourself, and you have a lot of self-compassion for yourself, and you have a good self-esteem, so you can focus on other people, and you can use it, especially, you know, women, we were given an extra dose of emotional intelligence, so we can use our emotional intelligence to try to understand what is it that our husbands want from us? What is it that our children want from us? Every time your husband talks, He wants something emotional from you. He's not your fabusa, like I said, or business partnership, so he doesn't want your opinion or advice, usually. But there are times that he'll ask you for your opinion and advice and he could want it. But generally, what does he want from you? He wants to know that you appreciate him, approve of him. He wants to know that you want his company and enjoy his presence, right? And he wants to be able to make you happy. And when you offer him reassurance, then you're addressing his emotional needs. And you're being a good example to him of how he can be more emotionally supportive to you. So these are all ways that you, these are all qualities that you can work on. Like I said, the four qualities are, you know, to have an easy time being warm and loving, to be difficult to insult, to speak in a way that others can hear you, and to be good at responding to other people's emotional needs, right? So these are all qualities that are very necessary for a thriving, happy relationship. So I think I'm done with my 20 minutes. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And let the Sound of Sense bless us all with Siyata Dishmaya, that with help, that our efforts should result in a happier, healthier us, a happier, healthier self, and wonderful, nurturing relationships.